Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
I'm Aaron McMahon.
On this week's episode, we will be discussing Michigan's top five men's basketball team, the football team's Citrus Bowl matchup with Alabama, and much more. Guys, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, Andrew. How are you?
Good.
I'm good. Good to be back.
First thing I just want to tell our listeners is that Wolverine Confidential is doing a bowl pick'em challenge through ESPN.com.
Let's go, baby.
So the easiest way, I think, to direct listeners to the group is this. Google ESPN Bowl Mania. Click the top result. That will take you to the ESPN Bowl Mania homepage. Click groups along the top. Scroll down a bit and search Wolverine Confidential. We are currently the only result there, unless someone comes up with a little knockoff group. You're good to go. You click that. It's public, so there's no password or anything like that. You will need to create an ESPN account if you don't have one already to log in. But that's it. You will see. You'll see our. You won't be able to see our picks, but you'll see our entries there. We'll try to get as many of our listeners and invite your friends too. Into the group as possible. Of course, it'll be just. No money, no cost, no real prizes.
Just a nice little shout out from the Wolverine.
Shout out from the pot. Right. Maybe we can work in some, you ask us a specific question or something, even if it's like offbeat or whatever, and we can answer it. Or
McMahon can sign a football for you or something.
They don't want my
signature. mention their name or something like that. And of course, bragging rights, among the three of us as well to see who comes out on top. But you just pick the winners of all 41 of the games, counting the national championship. You don't have to order them in any way. ESPN allows you to do that, but we're just going to do a straight pick 'em, which isn't easy. You might think it's, the bowl games. No, this is tough. And figuring out who's going to play and all that is part of it. And that leads us to Michigan's bowl matchup with Alabama. It's the Citrus Bowl, January 1, 1 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff in Orlando.
Thank God, because Michigan played in the Outback Bowl 2 years ago, mm-hmm. The New Year's Day game as well.
Yep.
And that was an 11 a.m. kickoff.
11 a.m., yeah. So, after
celebrating the New Year's, at least, 1 o'clock. Sure. I'll take 1 o'clock.
All right. I guess, but both of you, what was your first, reaction when you see, all right, it's Alabama in the Citrus Bowl?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the matchup is appealing from all perspectives. Mm-hmm. I think this game, from a bowl perspective, it's going to sell tickets. I mean, Michigan, Alabama is two of the best programs in the country from a winning perspective. I mean, they're the two programs people pay attention to. You got two high profile head coaches. From a business marketing perspective, it's great. I think from the Citrus Bowl has to be happy. They're probably going to sell tickets. They're probably going to get 50,000 or 60,000 people, perhaps to sell out there at. They're at Camping World Stadium. From Michigan's perspective, I think most fans feel the same way. I don't know if Michigan stands much of a chance, but we'll see. I mean, we're still waiting to see who's going to sit out, who's going to play, and we can get into that a little bit later. But it's intriguing. It's better, I think, than the Florida matchup last year.
It is a very intriguing matchup, but in my mind, it's almost like a lose-lose for Michigan because, on paper, like it doesn't seem like they'll be able to match up with Alabama, assuming – most of their players play, and if they don't play, and Michigan is able to pull out the victory, people can say, well, I mean, Alabama sat how many first-round picks and didn't play. But, I mean, if Michigan is able to pull out a win, it still would be a a statement win for Jim Harbaugh and the program to be the basically the gold standard of college football over the past decade. But it's, I don't know.
Exactly. That's why I have to disagree with the lose-lose. I mean, I'll flip it around. Win-win. You're playing Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing Alabama. So, like they, like you said, the gold standard of college football for the last however many years, here's your chance to play. Like, there is upside to beating Alabama that wouldn't be
but
there.
But what do you think the chances – I mean, let's say it's another blowout loss, though.
Then oh, well, that's fine.
Right,
yeah,
which is a very realistic possibility.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. I mean – and I think Michigan has more to gain with a game like this because Alabama and Nick Saban made it pretty clear Sunday that they're not happy in being in the situation they're used to playing in the playoff.
They've been in every one so far. They've been in every one.
So for them, this is a step down. Sure. So a win over them for Michigan would be great. But again, and we're going to talk about this later. We talk about now, but I mean, Alabama has several draft picks on this team. Should several of them decide to sit out and Michigan does get a win, then the narrative afterward is, well, Michigan beat majority of Alabama's backups. So it's
exactly,
like, I think Michigan has a lot to gain from a recruiting perspective. If you beat Alabama, Jim Harbaugh and the coaching staff can go to the recruits and say, hey, we can compete with the SEC. We can beat an Alabama team. But the national perspective will be, and again, we're waiting to see who's playing and who's not playing
all
this
right.
game. Should everyone decide to play, think great. I mean, you got the best of the best from both programs playing. But then at that point, I think Alabama is the elite team, the better team.
So. Yeah, and even if Alabama loses, I'm sure it's not going to hurt their draft stock or their recruiting stock very much too. I'm sure the recruits are going to be able to see through that, and so they're still going to bring in a handful of five stars and one of the top ranked recruiting classes in the country, in my mind.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you see a matchup like this, if you were told before the season, a lot of people would have expected it to come in one of the playoff games, mm-hmm. Alabama, Michigan. Certainly, there were a lot of projections that had both these teams in it. But obviously, it didn't work out that way. Now, yes, we're talking about, okay, well, if Michigan beats a depleted Alabama roster, we're saying that with no information right now leading us to believe.
Well, we can say Tua will not be playing for them.
Sure, he is injured.
Right.
But that there's any, I guess, that they'll be more depleted any more so than Michigan, I guess is my point. So, I don't know. Let's get into maybe Michigan, their roster, and who, no one has said they're not playing in this game. Is that correct?
No,
or what's going on?
Correct. You're right. You're 100%. Yeah. And a couple guys have said or indicated that they are going to play.
Okay.
So I guess we'll start with the two guys that have said or indicated that they're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
One being Josh Uche, who said he's going to forego his senior year in the NFL draft. There was some discussion whether or not he actually had another year to go because
mm-hmm.
he did play, I think, four games in his three or four
yeah,
games.
Yeah, he's listed as a
year.
Senior on the roster.
Right,
I mean.
Right. But he's also listed as a two-year letterman coming
right.
in this year. So
right.
there's some question whether his eligibility.
Yep.
So and it's unclear the NCAA has this new four-game rule, redshirt rule,
mm-hmm.
where you can play four games, but it's not retroactive.
Right.
So the working theory was he had no eligibility left. Either way, Josh Uche is gone. He will not be playing next year for Michigan. He says he's entering the NFL. But in his letter, he did say he was going to play in the bowl game. So Josh Uche does plan to play. After the Ohio State game and the post-game press conference, Sean McCune, who does not have any eligibility left and will have to enter the NFL draft. He was asked about his time at Michigan, and he made it pretty clear that he plans on playing this final game in the bowl game. So there's two names right there that sound like they're going to play. Now they do reserve the right to change their mind and not play. But there's several other guys that it's unclear at this point. I mean, I guess we can start with the offensive side
sure.
of the ball. You got Shea Patterson, a quarterback. I think he is playing a game by playing in a game like this. And his dad has gone on record in saying if Shea is able to play physically and not injured, he's going to play in every game he wants to at Michigan. So I would be surprised if Shea sits out. You got several offensive linemen who either their eligibility is expiring or the NFL draft is calling.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Bredesen is one. He was a potential first or second round pick. I think ESPN's Mel Kiper has Bredesen listed as a top guard available in the NFL draft, so his eligibility is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have a decision to make. John Runyon has a decision to make. Cesar Ruiz now has another year eligibility left, but his name has come up in NFL draft talk, so he will come up as well. And then you get the receivers. I think those are the biggest
question mark.
Yeah, I mean, you've got
– not seniors, but
correct.
Still
you've got basically three guys eligible. Who are draft eligible and who have – big names who have the ability, I think, to play at the next level. Donovan Peoples-Jones
mm-hmm.
is probably the number one guy there. His name has come up potentially as a late first round, early second round pick. He certainly has the athletic ability and the potential. Nico Collins is a name. I haven't seen his name a ton in these draft boards. However, he's eligible and he has the ability. I think I would argue maybe might be better than Peoples-Jones, just in terms of catching ability and athletic ability. And then you've got Tariq Black, who has 1 year eligibility remaining. But his name is more of a question mark just because his name, he's been injured. He hasn't done it. He didn't do a ton this year. But those are three guys as well on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. So, I mean, that will be huge, of course, you know, the who among that group suits up.
To me, I mean, it looks like it would make the most sense for Donovan Peoples-Jones to leave. This just, I mean, based off his bowl or his draft stock right now. And I mean, Tariq Black, if you look at him, he's been passed up on the depth chart by a few freshmen, a few of the younger guys. So, I mean, I just have a hard time seeing him leaving at this point to declare for the NFL draft, just because I don't think there's much. His stock is very high at this point. I think maybe another year to show that he's healthy, show that he can still be productive at the college level should go a long way. But again, it's just a wait-and-see game at this point.
And that's the key thing to remember about these bowl games is these players are making individual decisions for themselves based on the information they're getting from the NFL draft advisory board, from their coaching staff, from their parents, from the people close to them. You know, they're getting a lot of guidance. And these bowl games are you mentioned the stock, and that's where you have to weigh yourself. Where you rank in the NFL draft boards and what a good game against – in Alabama in a bowl game would do for your stock. And I would venture to guess, and we haven't talked to any players yet at this point, so I'm just going off of hunches, but going against an Alabama on a New Year's Day bowl game is probably an attractive proposition.
Full of high round draft, yeah, future and high round draft.
It's an attractive proposition
to put out there, yeah.
As opposed to a Peach Bowl last year against a Florida. Now, I'm not knocking Florida, but, you know, I think Alabama, like you said, they have several draft picks. It's good competition. I mean, we've heard this from NFL teams time and time again. I think Matt Patricia said this. He was asked about you know, team college players and teams he pays attention to. They pay attention to Alabama all the time. Their scouts are always watching Alabama football games. So I venture to guess other NFL teams are doing the same thing. So if you're a Michigan football player and you see Alabama for the bowl game, I'm thinking several of these guys who are maybe on the fence maybe decide to play.
Sure. I mean, and the one aspect we haven't touched on at all, which I think is critical, if you don't play in this game, you're not getting that $400 Best Buy gift card, the backpack, the watch, the luggage tag. You're not getting any of this stuff, I wouldn't think. I mean, I guess you could.
Plus a free trip to Florida, right?
There you go. But yeah, so I mean, we talked about the offensive guys. There's probably just as many guys on the defensive side. LaVert Hill, Josh Metellus.
Yeah. Cody Cutson. Yeah. I mean, Uche was up in there, but he said he's going to play.
Right.
Mike Dana, you know, potential. Yeah. He's a fifth year guy. He's got no eligibility left. I presume he plays. So we'll see. It's weird because and another thing we haven't touched on either is several of these guys have already got invited to these postseason games, whether it's the Senior Bowl or the East-West Shrine Game or the NFL PA Collegiate Bowl out in California. Some of these guys have got invites to play in those games, and we saw this last year specifically with Caron Higdon. He opted to sit out, but he was invited to play in the Senior Bowl. He looked at the Senior Bowl as a more better situation for him because you're working out for a full week, practicing in front of NFL scouts and teams and players and personnel as opposed to playing the bowl game.
When are those games?
So they're the mid to late January. So they're basically a week, about a month, 4 to 6 weeks from now. So Karan's, you know.
You could play in both.
No, you could, absolutely. Yeah. And in Sean McCune's situation, he has said he's going to play in the bowl game. Now, again, he reserves the right not to play, but he's also committed to playing in the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Game. So he's looking at it like this. He's going to take all this and utilize it to his best ability, and kudos to him. Mm-hmm. But some guys may look at it like that's not the situation for them. So several of these guys have gotten those invites. They may look at those as more better propositions in the bowl game. But again, like I said a few minutes ago, Alabama is an attractive candidate and an attractive situation to play.
And, you know, they'll be in a similar situation. They, you know, for every player we just mentioned on Michigan, there's, I'm sure, one or two on the Alabama side. And, you know, our sister site, AL.com, you know, has coverage of the Alabama football team, you know, that I suggest, you know, you monitor or, you know, our listeners follow. But we'll also be monitoring and, you know,
Well, they've got Alabama has two potential first-round draft picks just at receivers, Devontae Smith and Jerry Jeudy. You mentioned Tua, who's injured and not eligible to play. But they've between the lines, the receivers, they got several secondary guys that are potential NFL draft picks. Alabama's going to be going through the similar situation. They're going to be looking at Michigan and this bowl game and the situation. And again, their post-college invites here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to weigh. You're getting a lot of guidance from a lot of folks. So there's decisions to make on an individual basis. We should have a better idea here in the next few weeks of who's going to play in this thing.
The way I look at it from an outside perspective is, I mean, if you're a high round draft pick, and then it would make sense to sit out because you have a lot more to lose than gain. But I mean, if you're on the bubble as a late rounder or an undrafted free agent, I mean, I feel like you can only help your stock a little bit by getting a chance to perform against some other top competition and maybe making a big play to stand out and maybe gain a few more calls and interest from your performance. But obviously that's from a very outside perspective.
Yeah, no, this is just, and this is nothing special to the Citrus Bowl matchup. No. This is happening at bowls all over the country, really outside of the playoff. And you can get into a bigger debate about what the playoff has done for college football, at large. But
Saban even brought that up Sunday in the conference call. You know, he was kind of poking the media, but he's like, he made a point of saying, well, you all wanted the playoff, and you're seeing what happens when you get the 14 playoff, that everyone only cares about the playoff, because he was getting question after question about not making the playoff Citrus Bowl and where it weighs, you know. And sure. He was very Jim Harbaugh-esque. He's like, this is our next game, we're going to play our next game, as Michigan's our next opponent. But he made a point of saying, you know, the decision for his players to play or not play will be an individual thing, but he made sure to point out that the playoff is definitely changed the way players think about whether or not to play in a bowl game.
Sure, absolutely. And find me a better, you know, bowl matchup outside of the playoff games. I mean, you've got, you know, the Rose Bowl is typically pretty good, and that's, two top teams with Oregon and Wisconsin. Minnesota, Auburn, and the Outback is exciting, but I mean, this is pretty much this is as good as it. I just think it'll be competitive. This is as good as it gets, really, outside of those playoff matchups. So,
I said earlier, if you're a Citrus Bowl employee or Florida, like you're involved with that game, you're happy right now. You got two of the
TV
biggest
ratings, ticket sales, merchandise. It's all going to be one of the highest bowls out there.
It'll be watched. That's for sure.
And they met four times before. Ryan was telling listeners in our headline segment that you can find on your Google machines.
On your Google machines.
but the first one since that 2012 opener at Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah. It wasn't a game for very long as Alabama jumped out to a 31-0 lead and kind of coasted to a 41-14 victory over Denard Robinson and the Wolverines. And that was a top 10 matchup to open the year, too.
But Alabama won the national championship that year.
Yes, they did.
Michigan ended up
8-4, I think.
There you go. Yeah. So,
I mean, they're
8-5. Yeah, they lost their bowl game.
As well.
From what I've heard, what I've been able to gather, there are a lot of Michigan fans that feel like this game could be, I don't say just as lopsided, but it's going to be they feel like it's going to be lopsided. They think Alabama has a superior talent to Michigan. That remains to be seen, and we have to see who plays or not in this thing. Mm-hmm. The Las Vegas line was released on Sunday. I think they have Alabama as a last check, 7-point favorite. So I don't know what that compares to the other bowl games.
What's surprising to me is it's very rare that a Alabama defense is the weak spot of their team. Right. But, I mean, they just gave up 48 points to an Auburn team that, I mean, doesn't exactly light the world on fire on offense. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they've given up, I mean, without playing very tough competition, they've given up, they gave up 46 to LSU. Gave up 28 to Texas A&M, 31 to Ole Miss.
We struggled on offense.
They can put up points in a hurry, but again, without Tua, I know it didn't really hurt them offensively that much against Auburn. Although their backup did throw a couple pick sixes, I don't think it will be as lopsided potentially as most people think, but again, we'll have to wait and see. How many players sit out for each team?
That's the thing we got to wait and see. Right. I think we can make a better judgment on what we're going to watch or what we think is going to happen once we know who is and who's not playing.
What we can say for now is that they've had similar seasons and that, you know, both their losses are good losses in a way. Alabama's was to number one, you know, LSU, and to Auburn, you know, on the road, you know, both close games, both games, you know, in the 40s. You know, Michigan obviously had the lopsided loss to Wisconsin, but still, you know, it's the Big Ten West winner and playing in the Rose Bowl now. To Penn State, close loss on the road. And then obviously the Ohio State beat down at the end. So, you know, you can flip it around too. Both teams could say, well, geez, who did you beat though? When all is said and done, I mean,
I would say Alabama's best has win. Michigan has the better wins this year.
That's probably true. But again, yeah, that doesn't, you know, that won't mean too much come Citrus Bowl time. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting matchup for sure. We'll talk a little hoops here. How about we talk a little hoops?
Yeah, before you hit the road, let's do it.
Yeah, before I hit the road, on my way to Champaign for Michigan's game at Illinois. Yeah, we'll see. It's interesting, you know, just last night, Maryland was in a similar spot. Mm-hmm. Their top five team went to Penn State, which is unranked, and lost. And in both cases, at least the last line I checked, Michigan was the underdog in this game, like a 1-point underdog, just as Maryland was too. So I think a lot of sometimes the general public, you know, even media members, oh, huge upset, unranked team beats top five team.
It's still early.
Talk about this on this pod a lot, playing on the road versus playing at home in college sports, huge deal. I think it's reflected in these point spreads sometimes. Oh yeah, you're actually not such a.
Was the Texas Tech Louisville game? Was that a road game for Louisville?
It was in New York. It was in Madison Square Garden.
Neutral. All right.
But still, two top five teams went away from home and lost to unranked teams just last night. So yeah, Michigan will try to avoid that. Illinois. It's just a real quick scouting report would be. Don't really shoot many threes at all and don't make many of the ones that they take. I'm kind of an, you know, interior focused team. They got a 7-foot, monster of a freshman, Kofi Cockburn, who's just, he's just been dominant, averaging over 10 rebounds a game, blocking shots. They really get at the number one team. No team in the country rebounds a higher percentage of its misses than Illinois. So they get after it on the glass. Which looked like a weak spot for Michigan earlier in the year, but they've kind of cleaned that up a bit. But they'll have to be, you know, on top of that.
Do you think Illinois, watching what Garza did from Iowa, what he did against the Michigan and the Big Ten opener last week, that
kind of licking their chops, yeah, thinking about what they can do? Yeah, again, you know, it was interesting because then, you know, I watched saw some of Iowa's then their next game against Minnesota, I believe, and it was just. You know, Garza just had a very pedestrian game, but some of the other guys got loose from the mm-hmm. perimeter. You know, 3 points is worth more than two. And, that was kind of Michigan's thing. They didn't want to give up 44 to one guy, but they thought, all right, we're not going to double team. That's kind of been their MO the last few years. You know, not double team. Stick with the 3-point shooters and not let, you know, the other guys get going.
And when you're going down and scoring around pretty much every possession too, it's
like, right, exactly. Yeah, you can make up for it. So we'll see. Illinois – Brad Underwood's teams typically that, you know, they pressure you and they force a lot of turnovers. That's not really happening this year either. So they're just kind of a different team. But they're good, you know, talented players on that team. You know, Ayo Desunmu, big time freshman last year. Now he's a sophomore and not shooting well from three, but still a good player. Some people will probably be listening to this after the game, so I don't know how much more we want to go in depth on that specific game. Michigan will host Oregon on Saturday. That's a big one. You know, non-conference top 10 matchup. Oregon is in the top 10 now. That's big time to have at Chrysler.
Test, but it's at home.
So. Exactly.
Afternoon game, too.
Yep. So basically you're seeing – yeah, and doubleheader with the women. So, you know, if you're coming, stick around for both. Yeah, basically you're seeing, you know, a Michigan team that, you know, Franz Wagner, you know, coming back into the fold now. As you saw in person, Ryan, he's, you know, he was thrown into the fire as a starter, you know, right away, but he wasn't quite there yet. And I still don't think he's fully there yet as far as, you know, his flow on offense. But he's getting there.
Potential.
He's getting
yeah,
there.
You
and he got to the line and he got some points there. And, yeah, you could see kind of what he can do off the ball and things like that.
You have to be excited about his future this year as he gets his legs back under him, as he gets healthier and gets more comfortable at the college level. I mean, again, he's getting back healthy too, but it's also a complete adjustment to him, a complete different style of game and adjusting the college level. So I think Michigan fans are going to be pleased with him when it's all said and done this season.
Absolutely. A lot to like about Michigan basketball here. you know, as Big Ten play, the early part of Big Ten play wraps up. And then, you know, Michigan, we mentioned the game with Oregon. Then after that, it's some cupcakes at home during the holiday season as, you know, Michigan has its finals and Christmas, things like that. They'll just have kind of a week between games there for a stretch. But then, you know, the new year comes and right back into to Big Ten play, kind of an early January matchup with Michigan State. So
you don't think Presbyterian can pull off the upset on December 21st?
You know, I'm trying to remember some of these. I wrote about all these teams when like when the schedules came out. So many of their early teams had so these non-conference games had new coaches, and yeah, in most cases it wasn't because the new coach had moved on to something else, it's because he was fired. Presbyterian, I'm trying to remember where they fell. I'm almost positive they have a new coach. He might have actually left. I think he might be the guy who's at Appalachian State now from their first game. So he might have actually jumped up. That might have been a case where the guy did move on. But either way, you know,
they're 2-8 right now.
2-8. Yeah, no, these teams are not. You know, they should not give Michigan too much trouble, but.
I will say you'd have to, from a Michigan perspective, you have to be happy with the way they bounced back from that loss to Louisville. I mean, they had their first loss under Juwan Howard. It wasn't a very good performance on both sides of the ball. And then they come back and score 103 against Iowa.
I mean, sports is a funny thing sometimes, right? I mean, they cannot put the ball, you know, in the ocean against Louisville. You know, one of their worst offensive performances in years from so many ways, including just points. And then come back and crack the century mark and just, you know, six guys in double figures.
It's 55% compared to 25% against Louisville.
Right. Sometimes, you know, it's playing at home. It's obviously the opponent matters a lot. Iowa for the last few years now, not really known for its stingy defense. You know, and then just factors you can't really explain, whatever luck, the ball bounce and things like that. So
basketball's a funny game.
Yeah, so it was a nice, yes, I agree, nice bounce back for them. We'll see where they go from here. And then, of course, we don't neglect the rest of the dozens of sports here on the, you know, University of Michigan campus. And Ryan, you've got an update on at least a couple of them.
Yeah, a little quick update on the hockey team. They hosted number 6 Penn State this week. Earned a 4-1 victory on Friday night before falling 3-1 on Saturday. A sweep would have been huge there for a team that's in last place in the Big Ten, just crashing and clawing just to get wins right now. But a win over a top 10 team, still going a long way, as they now have a little bit of a break until the Great Lakes Invitational on December 30th and 31st. They'll open up with Ferris State, the annual game at Little Caesars Arena there. The women's basketball team, 8-1 now, had a thrilling overtime victory over Syracuse on Thursday, and were down double digits with 8 minutes to go and come back to force overtime. And
I watched that one.
Completely dominated the overtime session there. So pretty good start for the Lady Wolverines.
Kim Barnes and Rico, nice adjustments there, threw the little full court press at him with Nas Hillman at the top and little disruption, and Syracuse had been raining threes, but it was hard when they couldn't get the ball past half court to get those shots up.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, nice comeback. You know, after, I don't think that was their first game since the Notre Dame won. They had won one previously.
Yeah, they won two since that. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, they're on a little bit of a 4-game win streak now.
There you go.
Beat Eastern Michigan, Morgan State, Syracuse, and then beat Oakland 79-64 on Sunday.
There you go. But yes, as we mentioned, they play again. Or I don't know if they play again. State, yeah. Okay, but sorry, their home game. The Saturday
right after
would be
the men's game.
Yeah, men at noon and women tip at
3:30.
There you go. So a little double dip at Chrysler. And typically, if you have the ticket for the men's game, it usually gets you in to the women's game. I guess you could double check there on MGO. I'm telling our listeners to double check if that's the case. But often it is when they play on the same day or even the same weekend. Sometime you show your ticket stub. So. Yeah, you want to look out for that. But all right. Well, thanks.
That's all we got for today.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Again, feel free to join our ESPN Bowl Mania, it's called, Pick'em Challenge, you know, for bragging rights and some sort of special shout-out prize, I guess we can say. all right. Thanks again.